You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Good evening. This is the newest broadcast for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. It is May 28th, 2025. I am your host for tonight. My name is Jim Delfino. I'm joined with Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, how are you doing this evening?
Terrible. Everything sucks.
Sounds good to me. And I'm also joined by Chris. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I've been better.
Never better, unfortunately. Like to be better, but never better. So the Red Sox drop yet another game tonight against this afternoon. They played against the Milwaukee Brewers. So they get swept by the Brewers. I'd like to start off by getting your takes on this series and what you think this is going to lead to at this point. Jeremy, you want to start us off?
I was in the car today and listened to the highlights on the radio. And when the game ended, my thought was, I think we're heading back to last place. This is who we are. So anyone that thinks anyways, I mean, what are we up to, 60 games, 50 games? The sample size is there. This is who we are. Cora, and I'm a Cora. I was a Cora guy. I don't think I'm a Cora guy anymore. It's the same nonsensical responses today. I don't think we're playing great. He won't commit. He won't admit it. And I talked about this the last one I was on, which I think was Monday night. There's no accountability, and that's from leadership down. And those are the sorts of things you want to see during tough times that lead you to believe they're going to get out of it. But when the manager is just giving you coach speak and media speak and saying the same things over and over again, refusing to hold Devers accountable, the failure to bring up Roman Anthony, the failure to do something with Story, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same things but expecting a different result. I am not insane. I know who they are. They're a terrible baseball team that keeps making the same goddamn mistakes. It's so frustrating. I want to be involved in this team. I obviously am with the pod. I watch every game. I just want to enjoy baseball for one summer. And I have realized I will not be enjoying the season because they absolutely blow.
Great points, Jeremy. Chris, your thoughts?
I mean, Jeremy did a pretty damn good job of summing it up. But I mean, this team, I mean, beyond the frustration, I mean, they have me lying to myself, right? Like, I was on the pod the other night, and I'm like, I'm not watching this team unless it's a night I know I'm on the pod. And I'm in the hospital yesterday watching this stupid team. And being in the hospital was more enjoyable than watching them, which was the sad part. The only closure I had was that the people in the hospital were watching the Knicks game, and they were watching them lose to the Pacers. So I at least had that as a Celtics fan. But as far as the Red Sox, it's the same story. Every single night, it's a one-run loss. in which we either look completely lifeless or we just find new ways to blow a lead just to lose by a run, with the exception of yesterday with the grand slam, which Charlie did a phenomenal job of calling before it happened. But I'm with Jeremy. Like, I already know it's going to be a miserable summer for multiple reasons for me, but it's going to be a miserable summer of baseball. And there's nothing enjoyable about it. Like, even if they bring up Roman Anthony at this point, I don't even know if it's a positive. It might hurt the kid. The culture is probably better in Worcester. Just like leave him there. It can't be worse.
What's happening to Campbell?
Huh?
Look what's happening to Campbell.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. Campbell looks like a shell of himself in comparison to the beginning of this year. And my concerns are how long until that gets to Mayer, right? Because he's kind of been like up and down. His plate discipline didn't look great, but he's kind of starting to rebound with his team. It's just lifeless. And I think about a lot of the teams that make turns, right? Like every team that goes on a run, like the Tigers last year, no one saw it. The reason why it was a run is because they sucked for a bit. And then all of a sudden they turned it around. But the difference is like there's the fundamentals and there's enough good to suggest that like there's the possibility of turning it around, whether it's the players or the way that they play in the Tigers case. For the Sox, there is nothing. I have nowhere to hang my hat at this point and say to myself that I have any confidence that they can collectively put it together as a group and turn this around. And I agree with Jeremy. I've been kind of out on Cora for a bit, but it becomes even more so when you hear like his post game, it's almost antics at this point, the way he responds, where it's just like, yeah, no, we know we're not playing well. Yeah, we suck. We know we got to turn around. Okay, then turn it around. And if you can't, call somebody out for God's sakes at this point, including yourself. So what are your thoughts, Jim?
So I'm going to go on a little rip here. I've been watching the Boston Red Sox for over 40 friggin' years. I've suffered through the 80s. I've suffered through the 90s. I've had people tell me they'll never win a championship in your lifetime. The stuff that I'm watching now, and this really hit hard this afternoon when I saw that throw from Campbell at second base to home. That was about 80 feet to the left. I said, what the hell am I doing watching this team? I've seen some last place finishes. I am getting sick and tired of the way that this team plays and the way that this team tries to pat themselves on the back by saying, we tried, we need to get better, and all the excuses that come with Alex Cora. But make no mistake, I want to know, does this team want to win anymore? Because frankly, I don't think they do. We've had two or three seasons, probably since obviously the COVID year, that have been inept. We've been asking ownership to get involved again, to start giving us better players, to start spending money on longer contracts. And we get a bunch of garbage for the last 3 or 4 years. James Paxton, Garrett Richards. This list goes on and on and on. Corey Kluber, Pablo Reyes, Yu Chang, Bobby Dalbec. The teams of 2004, 2007, they didn't have this dysfunctional team and these inept 4A and AAA players on their squad. They had players who were better than average at every position on the diamond. They had strength up the middle. They had a good number three and number four hitter. They had a good number one and number two starter, a good eighth inning guy, and a closer who was pretty rock solid in all those championship years. I have absolutely no faith that this team wants to go ahead and try and win anymore. What are you doing? Look, Bregman goes on the IL. He gets hurt. What did you do? You were forced to bring up Mayer. In game four, he's already the cleanup hitter? Are we serious with this? were that inept that you have to take another rookie off the AAA roster and ask him to save our ass. It's unbelievable that we have to sit every night and watch this happen day in and day out. Who's going to screw it up tonight? Is it going to be the defense? Is it going to be somebody cut down trying to steal second? Is Hamilton going to throw the ball away? Is Casas, when he was here, is he going to drop a ball at first? I mean, it's just on and on and on, and there does not seem to be any fixing this in sight. What are they doing? Roman Anthony is hitting 7,000 home runs in AAA. Do you want to win? Bring the kid up, because you're not going to win with this staff. This is a mediocre team. They're on a 77-win pace now. This is hot garbage. And I don't want to hear anybody saying, oh, Justin Wilson's pretty good. He's not. Okay, there's a reason why Rule 5 draft picks become available is because they stink.
Oh, no, that's not true. We got Garrett Whitlock. We fleeced the Yankees.
No, you didn't. The guy's been hurt. He's had 7 surgeries since we've had him. They're not good.
Well, you know,
I don't want to hear any of this Twitter nonsense anymore. This team stinks. It's hot garbage. And until they pull the Band-Aid off and get Roman Anthony up here and make a couple changes, put Campbell at first, DFA Story, I don't care what it is. That guy can't play anymore. He can't throw. He can't even bunt well. Get off my friggin' team. That's how I feel.
I don't think it's a talent issue. So if you just quickly go through the positions, like Duran, plus player, Rafael, a plus defender, below average offensively, but you can accept that and up the middle defense. Abreu, gold glover, good player. He's going to be here, I think. Hold for a second. No answer whatsoever at first. Currently no answer at short, but you have a prospect at second. Bregman, your big prize at third. And you have a catcher. The talent, if you just look at it like that, not in a vacuum, just broad view, there's enough talent for this team to win. This is an execution. I've been talking about it all year. Situational hitting has been absolutely atrocious. And I believe that there's – let me give you an example. We've played – I think we're 10-16 in May, the Sox – and I think we're like 5-16 in one-run games. Those numbers aren't accurate, but it's close. They don't try to advance the runner in the first at-bat in extra innings. They're trying to hit a two-run home run. Like, it's just a microcosm, because we can talk about bunting. We can talk about Mayer getting thrown out in this series on a fly ball to right where he really shouldn't have been going to third. We can talk about a slide. He didn't attack the bag with his lead foot. He waited for his back dragging foot to get to the base. So even if it wasn't a great throw, he was going to be out. Why are you not attacking the bag with the lead part of the dive? Like, I could pick 100 different examples, and I'm not picking on Mayer. It's just, that was a terrible slide. He didn't give himself a chance to be safe. It's the ball that got Chirino was ruled a double. In what world is that a double? Rafael overplayed the ball. He decided not to dive. The ball hits and spins right in front of him, so it does like a loop around him or whatever. That ball should never be a double. That's a base hit with an error. Because he didn't touch it, he doesn't get the error. Like, I could just keep going on and on. So what does it say? One, accountability from the players has gone into the dumpster since Bregman got hurt, because the one person that was holding themselves accountable, leader by example, leader by history of success, leader by previous winning teams on the Astros and World Series championships, he's not playing. And in my opinion, we have seen a fall off the cliff with accountability with the balance of the roster. And then you have Cora, who I already touched on, so I won't go into it any further. Where's the leadership? Where is the guy that's standing up that's going to say, guys, get behind me. We got to start getting back to some of the fundamentals. We got to hit the ball on the ground and the leadoff at bat next innings. We got to get that run. I know it may not mean we win the game, but you're at least putting the pressure on the other team to go back out in the home half of the inning and score a run. Now, as it were, the Brewers didn't have a problem with that. But, I mean, it's just It's a leadership issue. And I said it on the Lost podcast. For those that listen regularly, I don't want to beat a dead horse. The leadership at this team starts with John Henry, Sam Kennedy, Breslow, Cora, and then you get to Bregman, who's hurt. Who's our leader? Ref Schneider's accountable the other day after the game. He doesn't even play unless it's a lefty, and he's been great. So of all the people, he's the only one standing up there, which brings me to my last point, and then I'll turn it back over to you. Rafael Devers has gone from Hall of Fame, you know, not Big Poppy level, because Big Poppy's personality played such a role in who he was, but just as a baseball player, as a left-handed hitter in the middle of the Red Sox lineup, I was starting to think Devers was going to be that type of guy. He wants to ride in the back of the bus. He doesn't want to be – he's certainly not accountable. He's not accountable to his teammates. He doesn't want to go grab his glove and play first or third. He wants to prove a point. That's the most important thing to him. He wants to prove a point that he's upset with the way the team mishandled the offseason, the signing of Bregman, and the transition into spring training. He can't put it behind him, guys. He'd rather go finish in last place. What does that say about the personality that's behind our best bat?
Well, not only that, but the veterans are not stepping up, to your point, and saying, look, I will help out. I'm Trevor Story. I'll play first. I'm Rafael Devers. I'll play first. No, you got to get a kid who's been in the major leagues for 2 months that is struggling at the plate, which I have a lot to believe is because they're they're misusing him and manhandling him. You're going to be taking reps at first base. And then where are you going to play? All right, you're at second. You're in center field. You're in left field. Now we hear that he's going to play first base in one game in this Atlanta series. I mean, there is no accountability from the veterans. Chris?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of points that I want to touch on between what you both just said. But, I mean, it's a fact at this point. Like, Rafael Devers is not a leader. He never really has been. And this team is void of leaders from the top bottom, including everyone that Jeremy just mentioned, starting with the owner all the way down. And the only kind of leader we had was Bregman, and he's gone. So, and all the teams that you mentioned, Jim, that were winners, whether we're talking about 04, 07, even if you want to say 13 and 18, they had leaders. And they had leaders that were hitters. They had them that were pitchers all over the team. And when one went down, whether it was mentally, physically, there was someone behind them to step up and be the leader, whether it was vocally or with their play. We don't have that with this team at all. And I think, you know, a point that Jeremy made is, yes, you know, remove the vacuum, just at like a very high level on paper, this team has enough talent to win. And the most frustrating part about this team is, of all the team sports, it's the most individualistic, right? It's not like hockey. It's not like football. It's not like basketball, where you could put all-stars together, but maybe they just don't play well and it doesn't show up into results. It's not supposed to be like that in baseball. If the back of their baseball says, or their baseball card says they can hit, they should be able to hit. It says they can pitch, they should be able to pitch. And on paper, we have enough that we should be able to do both those things. We can't. And there's tons of players on this team, with the exception of Bregman, that don't really have a culture and a history of winning, including Rafael Devers. Yes, he won a World Series with them in 2018. But let's face it, he was kind of riding the back of the bus, to Jeremy's point. He was not the focal point of that team. He was one of the pieces of that team, but he was not the focal point in the least bit. And since he's become it, with the exception of maybe 2021, he's a loser. Jaron Duran, love him, runs hard, he does everything right, except win. He's a loser. Trevor Story, a loser. Lost in Colorado, loses here. And we can go on and on. I can name every player on this team. There's no winners. Garrett Crochet, nice guy, was on the worst team ever in baseball. Yeah, he can pitch. It's not equating to wins. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's individualistically all their fault, but none of them individually are lifting this team. It's a team full of losers as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I'm frustrated to say the least.
I disagree on Duran and Crochet. Crochet's got a 2.0 whatever ERA, and this team just blows. If you can't win on the days he's pitching the way he's been pitching, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's pathetic. You don't need to even get to five runs. You need to score three, four runs. That should get you a win on Crochet Day. And it's not. Take Duran off of the 24 squad. How bad do you think that result gets? You can't take every player and say, because we haven't won, they're losers. Duran plays baseball in a winning fashion. He competes every single day. I never think of Duran after nine and be like, wow, he wasn't into it today. There's days where you're like, what's Devers doing? Where's the emotion? Where's the desire? I mean, I get he gets his four at bats, five at bats, but like, I just don't see it from him. And look, he's not a leader. We get it. Right? Lead by example. You don't want to speak to the media? Fine. You don't want to be close with your teammates? Fine. And I don't know if he is or he isn't. You don't want to be a outspoken leader? Fine. Do your job. That's a form of leadership. But he can't lead because what he's done is he's taken a stance based in spite. He has forced Cora to choose him. And now we have a division between, if we didn't already, but now we certainly do. We have Cora sitting there protecting Devers and his nonsensical BS from Breslow, who's gone out and said, we need you to play a corner infield spot. And nothing was resolved. I actually praised ownership back in the Kansas City flight when they went out and met the team out before they played the Royals. I actually praised. It's done absolutely nothing. There's no ground balls. What it's done is it's messed with Campbell more because now he's out. He's playing center field on Wednesday. Then Friday, whatever, I'm making up the days, he plays second base. But that whole time he's practicing first base, and we heard from Cora today, he's about to go play a game against the Braves at first base. I mean, talk about trying to just blow up a prospect. The whole thing is just dysfunction all over the place, just everywhere. Nothing they're doing makes any sense. Nothing is consistent. It's just an absolute rolling dumpster fire downhill on fire.
I think both of you made really good points. The other thing that I'd like to discuss and just kind of mention is if you're building for a championship and you bring in a stud pitcher like Crochet and give up a lot in terms of your number one draft picks, a few of them, where and what players have taken the next step on this team? If you look back at 24 and say we're piggybacking off of that and we want to improve and get better, who's gotten better? Duran has regressed from last year. His numbers support that. Rafaela has not taken a leap forward. Abreu has not taken a leap forward. His defense is even worse this year. Tristan Casas did not take a leap forward. Trevor Story has not taken a leap forward. Connor Wong, Tanner Houck. All these guys are not showing that they're building on prior seasons to get better. And when that happens, you're not going to win ball games. So you can bring all the Garrett Crochets and Aroldis Chapmans you want in. If these guys are not good to be able to take that next step, you can't be 6-6 in Garrett Crochet games. He had more wins with the White Sox at this point in the season last year. So you can't do that. It's beyond repair as far as I'm concerned. Chris?
So what do they do, Jim?
Yeah, that's going to be my question.
What do they do if it's beyond repair? And I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. I just want to know what you think is the way to grow forward, because this isn't the NBA. It's not you got to put five people on, you get a different collection of talent and you roll them out there next year and see what happens. You can't just blow up the whole thing. You have to take, you know, four or five spots plus half the bullpen and rotate them in and rotate them out. I mean, one of the things that you could do is just go young. Put Campbell at second, put Mayer at short, bring up Roman Anthony, whether you DH him or put him in the outfield. Fill in who you want to keep and then just, you know, probably regress to hopefully move forward. I mean, that's not the way I would want to do it, because it means we're back in the basement, in my opinion. But what would you do, Jim?
I think part of the problem is that answer is extremely difficult to give you an answer, because if Dave Dombrowski was still here, he was able to identify who were suspects and who were prospects. You trade the suspects, you keep and hold on to the prospects. So they, you know, they kept Devers, they moved Moncada, things like that. This management is really holding themselves high on these three kids. And let me tell you something. If they don't pan out, where do you go from here? I think they've made a miscalculation, and I think they should have used prospect capital to trade for more sustainable and good players that were showing a promise or getting more stud players, as I like to call them. Go and trade for someone who is, you know, putting up good numbers or can really do well. They're not doing that. You can't just bring up all these guys and assume all of them are going to, you know, be studs and they're gonna have impact in the major leagues. Doesn't work that way. We've been riding the coattails of the three of these guys for the last few seasons. I mean, look at Bobby Dalbec. They didn't want to do anything at first base because Casas was coming, like he's Paul Revere. And he has done nothing. He had half of a good season, let's be honest. And everybody else that says that he's wonderful, he's not. The guy's always hurt. There's always something with him. So how I would fix it, you got to start finding the guys that are available, that are of good quality, whether they are all-stars, studs, people who are maybe on some contracts that you could take on. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. But I will tell you this. If they keep going this way, they are headed towards a fourth or fifth finish in the division. And I don't think it's going to get any better for a few years. What do you guys think?
Chris?
Yeah, my concern with going young is I feel like we kind of already started to try to go that direction. And we didn't go full force young, to your point, Jeremy. Like there was a mix there. But if we go fully young, it's going to be a lot of losing, and we have to hope that a lot of these guys have leadership qualities and play baseball like really well for this to turn around at some point. And I don't have the confidence in the leadership of our front office to be able to cultivate that. That's one. Two, I think we put way too much hope, starting even back with the whole Dalbec Casas, right? Like we should have had a backup plan for Dalbec before Casas even got to the picture. We didn't. We put all of our eggs in that basket, and those eggs rotted very quickly. And I feel like this organization has done the same thing now with a mixture of Teal, who's gone, but then Campbell, because we have no plan at catcher. You know, Narvaez is nice, but let's face it, he wasn't the plan. It was supposed to be Teal. He's gone. There was nothing to backfill that. But you've got Christian Campbell at second. There's no backup plan, and we have to hope he pans out. We have no backup plan for shortstop. We had Trevor Story, who's been an albatross of a contract in production, and we have to hope that Meyer stays healthy and is a good shortstop, all-star level. Roman Anthony, same thing. He's going to have to be an all-star level. And we're banking on the fact that all three of them are going to hit. And if they don't, with the exception of Anthony, because at least we have depth with the outfield, we have nothing. We literally have nothing, which means we're going to have to go spend money and make trades. The way to fix this is we have to be the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox go out there and they get a healthy amount of good, sustainable contracts with all-stars that produce, that maybe look like bad contracts in the twilight of their careers, like any other bad contract or big contract, I should say. And then you have a couple of role players that are reliable and are going to hit or pitch what the back of their baseball card says for the duration of their career. They don't have to be all-stars. They got to be serviceable. And then you have a couple of rookies that surprise you to a point where you have backup plans, but then it's like, oh wow, we drafted and hit on an all-star. And then that gives you the abilities as some of these other contracts start to get to the twilight, start to look bad, start moving that extra backup plan as capital to bring in guys to replace them.
I'll leave you with this before we switch to Atlanta. Okay. We used to be the Red Sox faced this once before. 86 years of just horrific failure until 04, when Theo Epstein traded Nomar Garciaparra after throwing a hissy fit and failing to play. And I remember where I was standing on my dad's porch when I heard the news, and I was like, we'll never be the same. And I was right, but in the wrong way, because it flipped the loser mentality into the winning mentality that we had, the Boston Red Sox had for about 14 years. It's time for somebody in the organization, and maybe it's Theo Epstein, who was the person who did it in 04, to grab this thing and say, this is not working. We're going to do this. Everybody's going to hate it. We're going to get screamed at. We're going to get vitriol in social media, but it's going to reset the culture and it's going to project us forward, because a guy like Devers is doing exactly what Nomar did in that Cubs series, or whatever the series was, in 04, when they ultimately moved him because he refused to play. It's time to consider it.
You guys, can you guys imagine if Twitter was around back during that trade? It would have been a complete cluster for sure. So on to Atlanta, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 3-game series in Atlanta. We have Giolito on Friday night against Holmes. We have Walker Buehler on Saturday against Schwellenbach. And then on Sunday, we have Garrett Crochet against Spencer Strider. Chris, why don't you start? What's your thoughts for the series? What are your expectations?
At best, we take one of the games. Realistically, we might get swept. That's what I think. I have no confidence, Jim, in this team at any point going forward until they prove me wrong. And it's not winning a series now, because I've fallen into that trap, admittedly, and taken the L's this season on that. When we win 2 or 3, when we really should have swept. But one of them was a really exciting win. You really thought we were going to turn the point. Like the Devers walk-off against the Braves. It's like, oh, here we go. We're ready, boys. Nope. Right back in the same old pile of crap the next series. And it's only gotten worse. Are there on paper games that we can win that you just mentioned? Absolutely. Would I be shocked if we did? No. But I also would be shocked if we got swept. So,
well, there's no benefit to talking about what would happen on paper, because we don't know what's going to happen on the field. Is somebody going to twist an ankle round in second base? Not only hurt themselves, but get tagged out and kill a rally. Is Devers going to go back into an 0-for-20 with 16 strikeouts? Is there, you know, I mean, we don't know. That's part of the excitement of it all. Is you can go starter, you know, Crochet versus Strider, which is really exciting if both teams are playing well. But that's not what's happening. There's nothing that's going to happen between now and Friday that is going to spark this team. We should buckle in for the exact same things, just with new and exciting failures, because that's the only thing we should be expecting. You can put the best Crochet out there on Sunday. Unless he shuts them out, they're going to find a way to lose the game. So I would be blown away if they win the series. And one win would be kind of like limping through and trying to get to the next series without completely killing this thing and being down 10 games under 500. I'm petrified of this series. And I would not be the least bit surprised if it's a sweep and it's not just losing games, but like just absolutely atrocious baseball.
Jim, can I ask you a question before you give your thoughts on this? Because here's the reality. Plot twist here. We're going to flip it. Who cares what Jim thinks about the Braves series? Because the truth is, even if we sweep the Braves, it's not doing anything to the season. And for anyone that's a sane Red Sox fan that has half a brain, okay? So let's just start there. Jeremy poised a good potential. So I'm going to give you a potential. We find out after game one of the series, Rafael Devers has been traded from the Red Sox. Let's forget about what even comes back. Just the thought of that. Where do you think that takes the team for the rest of the season? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, with Bregman gone, you just lost your best hitter. So, I mean, you're just going to go right down the toilet. If you're just talking offensively alone, I'm not talking about, you know, the dugout and the culture in the dugout or anything, you know, the good, bad, the ugly about all that. You're going to lose your best hitter, and this team can't afford to do it because it can't hit. My point to what Jeremy had said nothing happening before Friday. The only thing that would make any freaking sense, and you got a day off tomorrow, if this team doesn't bring up or find a way to bring up Roman Anthony between now and game time on Friday, they're cooked. They have absolutely no intention, like I started today off with, do you want to win? Because that is a clear indication that you don't. As it relates to the three games in Atlanta, I am going to go with a sweep for Atlanta. Giolito, Buehler, and Crochet. I think the Crochet and Strider game probably is a 2-1 loss. The Buehler-Schwallenbach is probably 5-1 loss. And I think the Holmes-Giolito game is probably 7-4, something like that. So they'll get swept in that series, and then they face the Angels. That's all we got for tonight. I thank you, everybody, for joining us. Please go ahead and join us online in our print at bastardsofbostonbaseball.substack.com. Get a subscription there, and we'd love to have you chat with us online. Have a good night, everybody.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone, all with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.